Well, welcome to Manly Life 2016. Through January, we're going to have a couple of different speakers and some different encouragements. January is always a bit bitsy with church as people are away on holidays, and clearly all of our youth and all of our primary school kids are away and their families. And then February is when we're going to really launch into the year with our Vision Sunday. And I can't wait for that. We're going to be doing a series in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and this alternate community that Jesus formed, the children of God, this upside down way of living, this ethic, these values that imbue us. And as it gets a hold of us, the gospel, this whole new pattern of life begins to emerge. You become a peacemaker, pure in heart, merciful. But I'll wait till February till we get into that. All right, I love Christmas, and I love this kind of holiday period that we've been in. Particularly, I've enjoyed all of the lunches and the dinners. Did anyone else's diet start today? I put 3 kilos back on after losing 7, so I'm on the juicer now. That's all I'm eating, just juices. No, that's not true. I am going to have occasional juices. But I'm trying to play, what I've kind of realized about myself is I'm trying to play a more active role in the family when it comes to these meals. I want to have a bit of a confessional with you today. When I was 21, I moved overseas. I went overseas for 6 years. I was in Africa and the UK and Canada and so on. And in those 6 years, you kind of learn to grow up, at least I did. And, you know, I lived in some different share houses, and you begin to play whatever role is needed of you. I remember the first time, actually, we got some bills. I was like, who's been paying these things for the rest of my life? But all of a sudden, electricity and water and rates. But you kind of have this kind of growing up experience. But if I'm honest, when I go back to my parents' house, whenever I'm at home with my folks, I do kind of fall back into the role of the prince who must be served. It's terrible. I know, it's absolutely terrible. So in 2016, I'm going to try and work on this. No, I know my parents are happy about this. No more getting to my parents and waiting for them to serve me a drink and to bring out dinner. Does anyone else do this? You return home and you fall back into this kind of childlike state. No more accidentally forgetting my wallet when I go out to dinner. Do any sons and daughters accidentally forget their wallets? Well, here's what I wonder tonight. I wonder if for a lot of us, this is kind of the role that we play when it comes to church. You end up being a bit of a freeloader, a bit of a kind of returning from whatever you do during the week, probably very highly responsible, important roles. And then you get to church and you just kind of end up putting your feet up and relaxing. And maybe at one stage you were very involved in the life of the church. You used to do a lot and you just need a break, and that's fine. Maybe you got a little bit burnt out. But maybe you just see your spiritual gift as chief sermon critic. I've got to say, you guys are very good. We've been going as a church for 3 years now and I haven't had any real major issues. At my last church, I used to get regular anonymous letters telling me everything that was wrong with me, which was lovely. I remember one particular one. They actually counted them 1 to 10. There are 10 things they wanted me to change, including one of them that I didn't wear shoes when I preached. So you'll be glad to know I've taken on board the feedback. Or maybe for you, you haven't actually got around to beginning to contribute to financially support and to bless the mission of the church. It's a bit like me when I go to dinner with my parents. You forget your wallet. So maybe that's where you're at. But I want to say, as we start 2016, enough is enough, hey? Because the mandate for life in the church is clear. What we believe as Christians is that we have been called into a family. And the expectation, like in any kind of family that you would be a part of, is that you'll get involved. You'll play your part. So you're going to give. You're going to contribute. You'll serve in ministry. You maybe even do things that don't suit your diary. Now, of course, I don't want to paint this picture, purely in the pejorative. What we are being called into when we get called into the church, into the family of God, is an amazing community. The most dynamic, loving, serving, compassionate community that you could ever hope to be a part of. So what I want to do tonight is to go through a wonderful passage. If you've got your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to have it up on the screen as well. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to exegete it, let it speak to us. And then my hope is tonight we're going to arise to the challenge. We're going to arise to what God calls us to be as his people. So some notes by way of introduction. What Paul, who's the writer of this letter to Corinthians, is dealing with is the gathered Christian community coming together for worship. So he's not talking about your home life or going in mission. He's saying this is what it looks like when we come together as the family of God. And the key is verse 8. He says, all that he talks about in terms of the Spirit-given gifts is meant, he says, for the common good. In other words, everything I'm going to talk tonight is about building up the church family, the building of the church. So God is going to give us gifts, ways to contribute, ways to serve, so that Manly Life, so that St. Matt's, so that Seaforth Baptist, so whatever church you're a part of, is going to grow and be encouraged and built up. So this is about what it means to be spirit people. This is the defining mark of the Christian life. So we no longer live according to the flesh. We no longer live according to our own desires, what suits us. But as the Spirit of God, his presence comes to live in our lives, we begin to get shaped in this whole new way. Now, some churches, they talk about when the Spirit moves, it's particularly about developing the fruits of the Spirit. And that's so true. He comes to develop different kind of traits and ethics within us, like love and joy and goodness and patience. But what Paul says is that we're also to grow in our service to the church and to God's mission. So we're going to manifest these supernatural gifts as the Spirit works in and through us, not for our own glory, not for our own self-importance, not so that we look good or better than someone else, but for the common good. For the building of his church. And as you read this passage, I've got to say, it's a pretty dynamic place to be. I mean, Paul is setting the bar pretty high. This is the kind of church that I want to be a part of. Can you imagine being in this kind of church? There's going to be wisdom and words of knowledge. There's going to be healings going on in front of our eyes and the gift of tongues. There's going to be great acts of faith and miraculous powers on display. Amen. All for the common good. Also that we leave here feeling encouraged and built up and strengthened to be his people. So 1 Corinthians 12 verses 1 to 3. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray by mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. So don't be uninformed, Paul says. You need to get a handle on how the Spirit works in the gathered church. Now, the reason he wrote to the Corinthian church is they had a tongues problem. If you'd gone into one of these services in the early church in the city of Corinth, it was chaos. Everyone was speaking over the top of each other. They were speaking in angelic tongues and there was no order. They had an overemphasis on the gifts of tongues. So clearly not our problem in the Western church. But he goes on to say, before you were followers of Jesus, you were influenced by mute idols. But then he sets forth what belongs to the Spirit people and what does not. And he says the primary mark of the Spirit-filled person is this confession that Jesus is Lord. In other words, that's the entry point into the corporate worship experience. Now everyone is welcome at church. Anyone can come to Manly Life. You don't have to be a believer. But Paul says, if you want to play your part in serving, the way that's going to manifest is the Spirit's going to come upon you as you confess Jesus as Lord. All right, verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So Paul now zeroes in on the issue in Corinth by emphasizing the need for a wide variety of the Spirit's manifestations within the church. The point seems clear. Diversity, not uniformity, should be the mark of the church. So if you want a healthy church, if you want a healthy community, it's going to be in a diversity of people serving and gifts being expressed. But it's the same God who is at work in all of them. Now, any amateur theologians amongst us, what we have here is one of the earliest Trinitarian statements by a church leader. He says, different gifts, but it's the same Spirit. It's the different kinds of work, but it's the same God. And it's the different kinds of service, but the same Lord. So there it is, the Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and the Father God at work in the church. Okay, so here it is. Everything that happens in the church, spiritual gifts, ways of serving, ways of working in the church, it all owes its origin to God empowering us to serve. Now, there's stacks of ways that you can be involved to serve and operate in the gifts, but it says it's all coming from God. It all comes from God. I remember a story about one preacher, though. He gave a sermon and a woman came up to him at the end and she said to him, that was an amazing sermon, thank you. It really touched me. And he kind of said, it wasn't me at all. It was all God. It was all God. And she said, well, it wasn't that good. But the point from the passage though is clear. The dynamic, growing, Spirit-filled church, it's the result of God's presence being here in us. So I like the Woody Allen quote. What did Woody Allen say? 90% of success is just showing up. 90% of success is just showing up. What this passage says is our job is to avail ourselves to be used, to just turn up and say, I am available, God, to serve and to minister. And he will give us these gifts to help. A couple of years ago, I caught up with Sandy Miller while I was in London. For any of you who know of Sandy Miller, he was the former vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton, which is the church that started the Alpha Course. And Sandy has an amazing way of ministering at the end of services. At the end of the sermon, he invites the Spirit to come. And lo and behold, the Spirit just begins to manifest amongst the whoever's gathered. And us kind of beginner preachers, we like to copy those who are good. And I remember asking Sandy, do you ever worry when you invite the Spirit at the end of the service that absolutely nothing is going to happen? And he told me of a story. He was invited to preach at a church in Scotland. He went to Scotland and at the end of the service, very dour Presbyterian church, very stuffy. And at the end of the service, he just invited the Spirit to come and just to all eyes, it was like nothing occurred. Everyone just stood there in absolute silence with their arms crossed. And so he waited and he kept inviting God and the Spirit to move and to work. And it just seemed like nothing was happening. And so he went away from that meeting, incredibly feeling discouraged. And then a couple of weeks later, he received a letter in the mail. And it was from a little old lady who'd been in that meeting. And as Sandy Miller had invited the Spirit to come, for the very first time, she'd had this revelation of how much God loved her. And on the inside, God was just pouring his Spirit into this woman as she realized and had this revelation of the love of God. And that's my experience. You know, often at the end of our service or sometime, we'll call out things for healing or a word of knowledge. And sometimes when I'm doing these things, I'm literally thinking, I'm nuts. God, was that you who told me that someone needs healing for this thing? But what I find is that as you follow the promptings of God, his Spirit comes and he works in the body. All right, shifting gears. Here's a question. At the end of the church service, what is your routine? I wonder if you just happen to find your friends and begin to chat to them. And that's pretty much every Sunday. At the end of the service, you find your friends, you chat to them, and then you go home. Well, what if you covenanted with God that at the end of the service, you became a ministry hunter? You begin to look for opportunities where the Spirit of God has given you gifts, you've all got them, and then you can go and minister to people. In other words, for 10 minutes after the service, instead of chatting with your mates, you availed yourself to God using you. How would that be for a New Year's resolution for 2016? You seek out someone to welcome. You know, there's some new people here tonight. I hope that they've been made to feel welcome. That you just go and listen to people. Don't just bombard them with stories about yourself, but listen and get to know them. Maybe to pray for someone, to respond in prayer. Prayer for peace or prayer for healing. Because every single Sunday there's going to be people who are in need of God's touch and ministry of grace to them. How's that sound for a new rule? Lock and load. You're all ministry hunters at the end of every service. And so church becomes so much more exciting because it's no longer about us and was the sermon good enough that week, but it becomes about turning up with an appetite and a hunger to minister to other people. All right, we are here for the common good. So that's what it says, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we've seen that like God, three in one, we're to have a diversity of gifts being used by a diversity of people, but for the one purpose, the common good. See, each week we need God to show up and to do his thing. Every week there's going to be people who come to Manly Life who are hurting, who are in need of healing, who don't have peace, whose relationships are in trouble, who are looking for work. And every week you can come and minister for the common good to build up those people. So that's what it says. Each one of us manifests the Spirit for the common good. In other words, God's presence is going to come and give you something for someone else. Let me just pause there, because I want that to go in. Every Sunday, God is going to give you something for someone else. He's going to give Cara a gift of healing to go and pray for someone. He's going to give Preston a word of knowledge to go and minister to someone else. He's going to give Michelle a gift of hospitality to welcome someone into this church family. He's going to give you a gift to give to somebody else. It's pretty cool the way that it works that way. We've just spent a week up the coast with friends. We had dinners every night, great fun. We did go to the local pool when it was raining, and the baby pool got closed. We had quite a few kids in our group. The baby pool got closed because one of the kids couldn't make it to the toilet. And then we moved to the big pool, the 25-metre pool. And 3 minutes into that, one of our kids spewed, and so we closed an entire aquatic centre on a rainy day. How were your holidays? But every night, even through the rain, we had these fantastic dinners. But let's say it'd be really boring if at every night's dinner, it was my wife, Victoria, who was the only one who spoke. Hey, that came out really badly. If she spoke, it would be a really interesting night. But if every night, if she was the only one who cooked, that'd be really arduous. If every night she was the only one who cleaned, I'm sure she'd get pretty sick of it. When everyone plays their role, it just begins to work. Everyone brings something for someone else. And that's great fun. That's how the church should work. All right, so what are these gifts that we want to see in action as I come to close? Verse 8. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Isn't this great? What can we tell from this passage? Well, firstly, the Spirit obviously does more than just illuminate the Bible when we read it. You know, the Spirit of God is powerful and present to move when the children of God come together, to do amazing things to build up his family. So the Spirit is the giver of dynamic gifts that are going to build up his church. Now, I don't have time to go into the ins and outs of all of these gifts, but by any casual reading, you've got to say, that would be a pretty exciting church to be a part of. That's the kind of church we want Manly Life to be. Probably the best way to explain them is to share just how I have seen each of these in action very briefly. Verse 8, through the Spirit, a message of wisdom, to another, a message of knowledge, but the same Spirit. I know that within this community there is incredible wisdom. And particularly amongst some of the older guys and girls in our church community. And some of us have mums and dads that we can go to for wisdom. Some of us, we might not be have quite as good a situations, or we might be a long way from home. There is incredible wisdom in this church. Supernatural wisdom that has come from spending time in the Word of God and living a seasoned Christian life. I know when I had relationship issues before I met Victoria, I would go to my dad because he had wisdom and you'd just learn from him. For those who are in business world, go to John. There's so much wisdom in this community, and we want to tap into that. Verse 9, 10, faith and gifts of healing and miraculous powers. Well, this is the Jesus-y stuff. And what we believe here at Manly Life is that just as Jesus healed people, casted out evil, just as we saw that in the book of Acts continuing in the early church, we believe that that continues into the life of the church today. And so in our body, in us as a church, we want to pray for one another for healing. You know, in the last 12 months, we've seen two people with cancer in this church get healed and turned around. That's the Jesus-y stuff. We want to see more and more of it in the life of our church. And it's a gift. The same word for grace is the same word here for gift. So it's unexpected. We're not all healed all of the time, but it's like a gift. Sometimes God turns up and he just heals. I remember my minister in London, Simon, he was praying for a guy called Barry who was in his 70s, and Barry had gone deaf. He could just hear, but basically had lost all of his healing. He was in his early 70s, and Simon laid hands on his ears, began to pray, and there was a popping in Barry's ears, and 100% of his healing, of his hearing returned. That's how it works in the church. Verse 10, it talks about prophecy and distinguishing between spirits. When we started this church, Victoria had a dream when we first started that I would lead a team that would go to Manly Beach and we'd see people who were drowning out in the ocean. This was like not just she thought this was a good idea, but she felt this was from God. And that I would bring people in who were drowning and rescue them from the waves. And then as they were brought into the beach, Victoria and her team would resuscitate life back into them, bring restoration and healing and inner healing. And that's something that we've clung on to. That's how prophecy works in the church. Verse 10, to another, tongues and interpreting tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is a sweet, sweet gift. And I'd love to pray for you if you do not have that gift. Amen. But there's a difference between tongues for personal edification and for corporate usage. For personal edification, what a lot of us has found that as we pray, we get given this gift of tongues and it helps us pray. And it's not for the spiritual superstars, it's for the spiritually weak like me. Because it's God interceding on our behalf when we don't know how to pray. But then he seems to be talking about interpreting of tongues as well. And I've got to say, I've only seen this happen once in a church service. It was at U-Town Church in Vancouver, Canada. And it was a friend of mine, Ben's wife, Melanie. and she just felt the Spirit of God come upon her in a church service. If ever that happens to you, tap me on the shoulder and we'll get you up here. And she just stood up in front of a couple of hundred people at church, and she just began to just pray in tongues, this spiritual, angelic language that was just babbling from her mouth. And then, as the Bible says here, what we did is we waited for it, and then eventually one of the elders of the church felt like he had an interpretation, and he came up, and it was a word from God delivered through a tongue to encourage the church. Are the non-charismatics freaking out here a bit tonight? Don't worry. It's God's church and he's in control. Now, maybe you think as we read those, I don't have any of those gifts and I don't want any of them. Well, it does say eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. So we do need to go after these things. But there are lots of great ways to serve. Romans 12, same body language. Paul, in another letter to the church in Rome, he talks about other gifts that are given to the church. He talks about serving, encouraging, teaching, giving generously. So there's so many ways that you can play your part. All right, as I mentioned at the beginning, I think the band's going to come up. We're going to worship tonight just as we close. As I mentioned at the beginning, I'm trying to be a better family member in 2016. Kate, you can hold me to that when we go to dinner. When I visit my folks or hang out with them, I'm not going to forget my wallet as often. So I wonder, as I've spoken tonight, are you wanting to be a better member of God's family here at Manly Life? You know, I so want you guys to all feel at home and a part of this church and like you have a voice and something to contribute. I feel really silly, the fact that I've done way too much tonight. But Victoria has a sore throat and it's early in the year. But we want to get you going. We want to get you praying. We want to get you delivering words of knowledge and having wisdom for people here in this community. So desire the gifts, share them with the church. He's going to give you something to give to someone else. Amen. And at the end of the service, be a ministry hunter. Hunt for opportunities to bless other people, to love on them, and to see his church built up. Amen.